This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. We just talked all about beer. Great subject towards the end of the week. And up next, Linda from Kansas. Linda Ditch from Kansas. She changed her blog also so that people can make note of that. There and back again, food.com. Welcome, Linda. Food for Thought.
Hi, Carol. How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good. I have fun listening to you guys talk beer.
Are you a beer girl?
I do. I'm one of those people, I drink what's going with the food, and beer just works for some dishes. I mean, there's just some dishes that wine isn't going to have to do it, so I always go for a beer. And I'm a craft beer girl, too. I like craft beer.
Have you discovered some good craft beers to your liking in Kansas?
Oh, yeah. The Tallgrass is a brewery here that does some great work, and so does there's one in out of Lawrence called Free State. But then probably the one that's best known from around here is Boulevard, which is out of Kansas City. And I like Boulevard's Pale Ale. It's a good one.
Is it popular out in Kansas like it is out here in New Hampshire? I mean, the you know, craft beers brewers have grown so much. Is it like that out in Kansas as well?
Well, it's funny because what I see happening in Kansas is what I felt like I saw happening in New Hampshire about 5 years ago. You know, and the trends all seem to be that way. Everything from, you know, the local and farmers markets being the big deal, and craft beers and wineries and all of that becoming big, are about where, you know, I remember seeing the same thing happening 5 years ago in New Hampshire, where, you know, people were, it was all just getting started and people really getting into all the local, organic, all that kind of thing. And I see that happening here now too. And now some of these breweries out here, the local breweries, they're expanding quickly to meet the demands that people are having for their beers. So
I have to admit that after talking, you know, the last month to Michael, who's on you know, our show every other week, Tap Handle Show blogger or podcast guy, I really want to start investigating some of the craft beers, and I don't want to be seen with a big corporate beer in my hand.
Right? Like now, a Bud? Ask for a Bud? I'll be embarrassed, I think, now.
Not to be a snob or anything, but I feel like I owe it to myself to try some new stuff. Nothing wrong with Budweiser, nothing wrong with Heineken or any, but I, you know, it's time to maybe try something new.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I'm not a big beer drinker, but, you know, when I went to Ebenezer and I sat and, you know, had a sample of mm-hmm. all of his beers, you know, it was just so interesting, you know, and hearing the story about each beer and you know, like we were talking about this, the name, how did, you know, what, where that name derived from.
And the backstory is really what interests me.
Very cool.
So if I come three sheets to the wind tomorrow, Carol, because, you know, I'm going to the brewery also at 10 a.m., I'm not expecting to go through a flight of five different beers.
Oh, you're doing that tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning,
oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, and the intent is...
Well, you better be expecting to go through. You may very well be doing that.
Well, I'm going on business for part of my podcast to talk to one of the owners, but
I'm sure there's going to be some beer sampling, Mike.
But 10 in the morning, you know, that's, I know it's 5 o'clock somewhere, everywhere, every day.
That's right.
I don't know that I can guzzle down, you know, a burning ship's ale or something tomorrow at 10 o'clock, Carol.
Well, you just have to get up at like 5 a.m. so your body thinks it's more noonish. And you'll be all set.
There you go.
Good point. Wow, it's noon. Woohoo! Oh, man.
Well, so, you two are food people, so I want to ask you, do you ever worry about maybe like if you're in the grocery store or, you know, at a restaurant or say, driving through a fast food place, that people are going to see you and recognize you and go, I can't believe that Mike's buying that after what he has on the radio. Do you ever think about that?
Well, not so much. I can tell you, though, what did apply is I had been a paid spokesperson for 8 years for Dunkin' Donuts. So I rarely would go into a Starbucks because it's like, oh, I don't want to be biting the hand that feeds me.
Right.
But when I would go on vacation where I was pretty safe that nobody was going to know who I was, I would duck into a Starbucks just to take care of that itch.
So you do like Starbucks?
Well, I do.
And back there, Dunkin's is like local. So, I mean, you almost feel like you have to go to Dunkin's versus a Starbucks because, you know, they're the local
Big thing. Yeah, you know, and the two coffees, the two basic coffees are very different. People would always say, well, Starbucks is too strong or Dunk's is too weak or whatever. So, I mean, there's something for everybody out there. They're both very successful. And, you know, Dunk's was very good to me for all those years. So that's where I probably spend 95% of my coffee dollar still, even though officially I'm not speaking on their behalf any longer.
Well, what's funny is Dunkin's just opened here this year, in Topeka, but they're on the same street as two other local donut places.
Oh,
they opened just like on the same in the same block area, and so it's like Donut Row where these guys are.
Really?
And you know, I'm always one for supporting the local guys, and you know those and the ones that Baker's Dozen it makes amazing donuts, and I love the donuts, but it's like it's Dunkin' Donuts. It's a little bit of New England back here, and you know, I got my iced hazelnut with cream and sugar. That was my drink. You know,
well, are there many Dunkin' Donuts in your town?
No, there's one. Well, that's there's one out on the Turnpike in the service area, and then there's the one that opened here. That's it.
Well, I there's still a lot of areas, Carol, if you want to throw some money into a Dunkin' Donut franchise with me. I mean, there are parts of the country where, I mean, they're just getting them in California
it's
now.
True.
And that's
true.
What a huge market that is.
I know, because I remember when I lived in Gloucester, there was a Dunkin' on like every block. You couldn't go far and not hit a Dunkin'.
Well, let me tell you something. In Londonderry, on Route 102, which is Exit 4 off of the Turnpike, off of 93, if you go west from 93 to Mammoth Road, which is a couple of miles, a major intersection, there are now three Dunkin' Donuts.
And
gosh. They're all on the same side of the road.
It's crazy.
Oh, no.
That's going
to put somebody on the other side so you can catch them going coming and going.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's just like on every corner there's a Walgreens or a Rite Aid or a CVS.
Yeah, it's like
everywhere
gas stations
you go.
Used to be.
It's crazy.
It's now drugstores.
Yeah, you're right. And that's happening here, too. A CVS just opened up on a corner I went by and that I go by all the time. I'm like, wow. So I got CVS. One block later, I got Walgreens. You know, go a little, you know, it's nuts. But I guess it works. They must, you know, people must go or they wouldn't open. So
they're all making money. And I got to tell you, I really gained a lot of respect for CVS a year ago or whenever it was when they stopped selling cigarettes. You know, because clearly they're a store for your health and they do, you know, wellness checks and in you know, influenza injections, all that stuff. And they finally said, all right, we're not going to do this anymore. Good for them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Since that CVS is opened, I go there because I firmly agree with that. If you're going to, you know, you can't pretend to try and be concerned about people's health and then sell cigarettes when we know. I mean, there's no excuse. We know how bad cigarettes are for you. I mean, people can choose to smoke them. That's their choice. But, you know, we know how bad they are. So that's the choice they're making is taking their life in their hands by doing that. Same with, you know, riding a motorcycle without a helmet kind of thing. But, you know, I would much rather support a place that's supposed to be for my health by going in. Now, if they could get rid of the junk food they sell, it'd be even better.
So I think we're talking jambalaya today.
I saw recently on another blog a woman, she'd made this New Orleans kind of dish, you know, rice and beans and stuff in a skillet. And I thought, I wonder if I can do that with my jambalaya recipe. And then I thought, even better, I wonder if I can do that using leftover rice. You know how you go get Chinese food from takeout or something and you always have white rice? It's never used or you don't use it up and you're, you know, and it's sitting in your fridge and you wind up throwing it out because what are you going to do with it? And so I thought, well, I wonder if I could do this with leftover white rice. And it worked. And so I put my jambalaya recipe in a skillet, and now we've got skillet jambalaya. And it's easy to make. It's got shrimp, and it's got smoked sausage, and it's spicy, and I love it.
Your pictures on your blog look beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, they look very nice. Very, very nice.
Yes, I've been eating it all week because, you know, I had to make the full-size dish. So it's like I had it for dinner one night, and it reheats well. I had it for dinner the next night and the next night, so... It does heat up again very well. So
you must be jambalaya'd out, Belinda.
But you know, it's funny, and I write this on the blog. For some reason, especially in the summertime, I really get into a mood for Creole cooking, New Orleans food. And I don't know if it's the spicy or because it's hot and sticky and, you know, awful weather that you just, I don't know, it just, it makes me think of what I imagine New Orleans because honestly, I've never been there. I want to go there. That's my one of the top places on my bucket list to go.
Me too.
I just want to go eat food.
Yep.
I'll starve for a week before so I can just go and eat food. And I'm not, I did an article for the Concord Monitor a year after the hurricane in Katrina, a radio guy down there who has a drive time radio food show in New Orleans.
Really?
And he's been on the radio down there for decades, and he had come up with a New Orleans cookbook, and I was talking with him he said what other people have said to me: you can make New Orleans food as much as you want, but it just doesn't taste the same as if you're there. And I want to try that out and see if that's true. You know, I mean, I've interviewed Irma Lagasse. I've interviewed this man. I want to go try their food where they make it, you know, and see what it's like. But until then, I keep experimenting with dishes that I enjoy at home. And jambalaya is easy. Whether you make the skillet one or you make it straight out, it's not a difficult dish to make. So,
right, well, can you walk us through it? Because I'm somewhat interested. I'm batching it over the next week or so, and I'm thinking that might be something I could do.
Well, jambalaya, the main thing, first you start off with what Irma Lagasse calls the Trinity, which is like the mirepoix in French cooking, you know, which is celery, carrots, and onions. In Creole cooking, it's celery, green pepper, and onions, so no carrots. And so you start off with that. You saute that in some olive oil. And then you, and for the skillet version, you saute that with some olive oil. You put in a little minced garlic, a clove of minced garlic in there. And then I drain a can of petite diced tomatoes, the low-sodium kind, and I put that in there. And once the onions and everything are a little softened up, then I'll sprinkle in. I have my own Creole seasoning mix that I call almost Irma Lagasse's Creole seasoning mix.
I love it. I love
because
it.
Because it's a spin on his essence that he, you know, you can get his essence recipe online. It's everywhere. So, but I have my little spin on it. So you sprinkle in a tablespoon of that, get it all spiced up, and then you throw in some smoked sausage, and you throw in some shrimp. And then the last thing you throw in is the cooked rice. And you toss that in, you toss it all together, and once the rice is warmed up and the shrimp's cooked, you're good to go. And that's jambalaya. Now, if you're making it from scratch, of course, you saute all those vegetables, and then you put the rice in the pot and kind of get it coated in the oil, and then you throw in some chicken stock or water if you want to, you know, if you don't. But I would use chicken stock. And you cook the rice, and you cook it until the rice is done. And then, and you put in the sausage and you put in the shrimp. Well, I wouldn't put in the shrimp till last. If you cook it till the rice is done, then throw in the shrimp at the last minute so it doesn't overcook. So, but I mean, if you can make a pan of rice, you can make jambalaya. You just have to do all the other seasoning and then get all the vegetable stuff cooked up first.
All right, talk to me about the sausage. You say spicy sausage. Do you use andouille sausage or chorizo, or what's your choice?
I actually use smoked sausage. I like the smokiness. And also because I'm finding andouille ranches sometimes to be a little, it's not always available. But yeah, you could use whatever one, smoked ciabatta, andouille, turkey sausage, you know, something like, I would do, chorizo is probably too much because it's got a flavor all its own.
True.
And the same with linguica, which you cannot find linguica in Kansas. Somebody send me some linguica. But yeah, those are flavors. Those are very strong flavored sausages. That would, and chorizo would just color the dish a whole other color. So I'd stick more with the kielbasa, the smoked sausage, the andouille, which, you know, on Dewey, of course, would be what you'd use down south in New Orleans. So,
yeah, I wonder if we can find that at our local grocery stores, and Dewey sausage.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I remember seeing it in, like, my shop in Shaw's back when I used to be there. But I see it once in a blue moon here, but I don't see it as often here as I used to back there. So.
Well, Mike, I think that you'll be able to handle that while you are batching it.
Yeah.
I think it will be something you'll be able to make.
I'm thinking about it.
You
know, truthfully, in 30 minutes, you can have jambalaya. 30 minutes, you know, because what? It takes 20 minutes to cook rice. So it's just a matter of, you know, put some olive oil, you know, put 2 tablespoons of olive oil in one of those, you know, those skillets with the lid. You know,
Easy.
Put some olive oil in there. Sauteed onions, peppers, celery, clove of minced garlic. You know, get all that nice and soft. Pour in a cup of rice, dry rice, you know, not cooked. Pour in the not cooked rice. You know, saute that around for a second so it's all coated in the oil. Then put in 2 cups of chicken stock and your smoked sausage. Pop the lid on, turn it to a simmer, and let it simmer for the cooking time that the rice says, which is usually like 15 to 20 minutes, depending on the rice. But then in the last 5 minutes, lift the lid off real quick and throw the shrimp in and put the lid back down. And then when the rice is done, the shrimp's cooked, make sure you put your seasonings in there too, of course. I forgot that. Put your Creole seasoning in when you get ready to put the rice in too. Then it should all be ready to go. So, you know, you're talking 20 minutes for the rice to cook and 10 minutes to cook up the rest. So it doesn't take long.
Yeah, and Mike, anyway, one night you're going to go out for Chinese, and you're just going to use your leftover for
the next
day.
There you go.
Right, and then you can
I have it all mapped out for you.
Thank you.
And then you can do my skillet jambalaya where you don't have to worry about cooking the rice.
That's right.
It's even easier.
Chinese is one thing I don't like to make at home because I just can't duplicate how good it is in a Chinese restaurant.
Find a good Chinese restaurant, you might as well go there. Absolutely. Yeah,
for sure.
You might as well go.
And that's my greatest fear about making jambalaya. I know that it's not going to be anywhere nearly as authentic or as good as what you'd get in New Orleans, but hey, I'm not out to impress anybody. Yeah, it'll be mine.
Right. You just make it your own. Exactly. Okay. Well, Linda, thank you so much.
That's the same with the Creole seasoning recipe I put with the skillet jambalaya on the blog. I mean, that's my version of it. Adjust it however it fits your taste, you know?
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Linda. It was great talking to you.
Great to talk to you guys again, too. I'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Linda. Okay. Talk to you next week. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Linda Ditch from Kansas. You can check her blog out. She has a new address for it, thereandbackagainfood.com. So I suggest that you get connected to it. It's a great blog to follow. She has all kinds of great pictures and stories and all that. So you're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse, WTPLFM.com, and we're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
TPL 107.7, Carol Lawrence, Mike Moore, and this is Food for Thought. Weekdays from noon to 2, 814 Elm Street. We're in the Beacon Building, downstairs in the beautiful studio. Tomorrow, upstairs on the sidewalk, street level, for our first special summer event type of broadcast. So it'll be good. Looking forward to it. Weather's going to be nice. Weather is cooperating. Our show is brought to you by Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. And Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com. Rocco, of course, is the head guy over there. He's with us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour.
And, you know, when we were talking about Dunkin' Donuts and how close they are, Bob had put out a couple of stats here. There are 16 Dunkin' Donuts within 10 miles of downtown Concord.
Is that right?
42 Dunkin' Donuts within 10 miles of downtown Manchester.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
That is some
that
good research work there
is a
by
lot.
Today's
so
producer.
They're putting them in between, yeah.
I think we need one right downstairs here at Midtown Cafe.
No, we have Midtown Cafe.
I know. Just teasing. Who's this guy over here rattling all the equipment around?
I know it. I wasn't sure. I didn't think you were back on.
Oh, yeah.
So it happens when you talk during your commercial. Well, yeah, I was just checking the weather for tomorrow. Yeah, right. No, it's very nice.
It looks like it's
check your
nice
email, read your email on the air, anything like that. Check.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Girlfriends and stuff.
No, I don't get into that stuff.
I'm just trying to create a little trouble.
Get me
here.
Going here?
No.
He is getting you going.
No.
Those are the old days.
That's exactly right.
I'm just guessing. I'm just pulling
exactly
this stuff.
Right.
So anyway, how about those Red Sox?
We're going to move on.
Yes.
We're going to move on. So Dad is joining us.
Yes. And very nice.
What do you have on tap?
Summer day. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't do the recipe yet, and it's not good. You know, I'd like to usually try them all, but it intrigues me because I like that you were talking about the goulash. And I like that stuff.
It's like a hash and just, jambalaya.
To me, it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So this one here, I got it off of the networks. They were visiting a restaurant that used to be in the Yucatan Peninsula, which caught my ear because I went there with my motorhome about 10, 12 years ago. And what a great place.
Really?
It's west side of Mexico, way down to the tip. You actually have to turn around and come back.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's about 800 miles. We didn't go to the tip. But there's a lot of restaurants, but they're real, you know, not backwards, but, you know, it's like you eat in a house, and it's near the ocean or on the ocean. The kids are running around in the restaurant. The chickens are, too. You know, the Yucatan is like that. Mm-hmm. But the food was fabulous, and everything is chicken and burgers. But anyways, I got this recipe here. It's a person that lived there all their life, mom and dad, with their mom and dad, and they moved to New Jersey and opened up a Yucatan restaurant.
Oh.
And he just come up with this little recipe.
So is it a special type of Mexican food because it's a different region? Or
No, it's different.
Yeah.
Everything was different. Mm-hmm. Like, this wouldn't be Mexican, I don't think. This here recipe, you need 6 pork hocks. Now, everybody knows what a pork hock is. You know, if your arm was a leg of a pork, it's the section between your elbow and your wrist, where the knuckle. You know, it's a long piece, and the meat's supposed to be very tender. Hmm. I never had that part of it, really. I always used to take pig's feet, you know, the old expression, and that's good. But it's very granular meat.
Mm-hmm.
This here was nice meat. Nice. It was beautiful. So he takes that. You need 6 pork hocks in boiling water with salt and pepper, of course, at a low boil for 5 hours. So you're really working it hard. And then when cooked, pull the meat like you would pull pork where you are from the bones and put it aside. Reserve and strain the liquid and refrigerate because you have to make it 5 hours, let it cool. So it's something I would do the day before. And then on the next step would be in a medium-sized pot, 2 pounds of red beans. It said red beans, he says, is what they use. And I like kidney beans. I keep thinking of kidney beans.
Mm-hmm.
But red beans, I guess that's kind of, you can have what you want. But they weren't kidney beans. And the same thing, in water, salt, pepper, and, you know, we would call it the Holy Trinity, the quarter-inch size celery, carrots, and onions, and 1 clove of garlic smashed and cut fine. You don't want much of that to interject into the food. 1 tablespoon of granulated onion, add water, chicken stock, and the reserved ham stock that you cooked. Low boil for 6 hours in that pot.
So you've already low boiled
for
5 hours.
It's a 2-day thing. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a 2-day thing. You do one day, you get your meat ready. And then you add the meat from the pork hocks, let simmer for 30 minutes, serve with 2 scoops of white rice in a bowl, ladled with red beans and pork over rice. Serve with your favorite bread and a nice bottle of wine.
That sounds fantastic.
It does.
It really does. And I'm expecting you to make that at Midtown Cafe next week.
No, we say we are and we don't get to it, but this would be a good thing.
It really would.
We just don't. We go from, you know.
It's very labor intensive, though. I don't know how you can make any money on that.
Well, you know, count your time.
Just do it at home.
Yeah, I would do the meats at home and finish it off here.
Okay.
You know, again, we're not, you know. If we could ever expand Midtown, that's what we need. All we need is a 30-inch stove.
If only you knew the guy that owned this place, you might be able to get some more space.
Well, the problem here is the hood system.
Oh, okay.
And it's right, five floors up.
The open atrium. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, yes, that's
you can't blow it out on Elm Street,
so
I
that's
guess.
Why we're limited in Midtown. That's why it's a great fan, you know, shop. And a lot of the items we cook at the Arrow, some of the items, not here. But, you know, when I come in with something like pulled pork now, I'll cook it at home, which I shouldn't do. But I've been doing the Arrow a lot, you know. Mm. I mean, I have commercial ovens at home anyways. But, you know, you do it ahead. But this got to be good. I like that. The bread, you know, the wine, the whole
sounds
bit.
Sounds delicious.
It almost
it really
sounds
does.
Like it's got a little Cajun feel to it, because you're doing it with the beans and the rice, which is very
beans,
typical to
beans, rice,
the
and the pork.
Cajun.
It's
and the
totally
pork,
different.
Right. Yeah, maybe different spices, but, you know.
You got the chicken stock and the ham stock. Yeah.
It sounds similar cooking. To jambalaya.
Yeah, it kind of does.
You know?
It does? Okay.
That's what Linda was just talking about,
right.
Jambalaya.
Well, when I heard that, I think that's what I've got, something like it. You know?
And what is this called again, George?
They just call it the red beans and rice.
Red beans and rice.
Yeah. It was. It's sold out all the time. It's on a menu 6 days a week.
And this is at a place in
New Jersey.
Oh, in New Jersey,
this
that's right.
This came from the Yucatan.
Okay. So the host of the show went to New Jersey and
exactly,
not to Mexico
exactly.
to see
Exactly, picked it up,
this.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and people, he actually has a following for the Yucatan.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a big food TV guy, right?
Yeah.
You like the food. Do you ever see the show with Anthony Bourdain? I wish I could think of the name of it. It's on CNN. It's like Places Less Traveled, or I forget what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just very, very gritty, going to these countries that you've never heard of.
And I know what you mean.
With the town people. And he's a tremendous journalist to begin with.
Yeah, he is.
So what a great
awesome.
Show that is.
He is.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's awesome.
Right.
You'll try anything.
Yeah. You well, you would too, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I would try it. The only thing that I wouldn't try is, like we were talking with Carol yesterday, I can't force myself to try tripe.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, right. That's pig stomach, isn't it? Stomach lining? Cow stomach lining?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Gross. Cow, right?
Cow. Isn't
cow?
I guess. I mean, cow, goat, or whatever. I guess all it goes with the tenderness. But what the heck is the other one? The one I was telling you about, I just can't think of the name. They use the large intestine and peel.
Chitlins?
Chitlins,
yeah. Right.
Big
Southern soul food.
Forget it. Yeah, that's Southern right here. And they got out of their way. That cooks for 6-7 hours, too. It's white, and it's, I just could not try that.
But if you grew up there, it'd be part of your culture, you know.
Big attraction, yeah.
You know, when you think about it, up here, what would be our food that maybe they think is crazy? You know
that's
what I mean?
That's crazy, yeah. I don't know.
Should have asked Donna.
I know.
Because I consider
that's
her
true.
Southern,
right?
Essentially.
Yeah, you know, like what?
Because that's one of the first things that her husband asked Daryl. What do you have that's good here besides soul food? So, see, he was looking. You come up here and you make a fried chicken.
Well, you probably get some good soul food in the larger urban areas, Boston.
Yeah, but like she says, what do we have to offer?
Yeah, right. What would be the equivalent?
It ain't pulled
of chitlins.
Pork. They have that. You know,
there's something different.
There has
that,
to be. It's a good thought.
Yeah,
there has to be something.
Listeners, Dad's in the house, George Lawrence. You're listening to Food for Thought live at the Beacon Building. We're going to go on a short break. And when we come back, Dad, I'd like to talk about your crepe breakfast on Sunday. Let's do that.
Okay, cool.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Tomorrow, you can come on down and have some lunch at Midtown Cafe. It's going to be beautiful. You can sit outside, and our show is going to be on the sidewalk tomorrow. So that'll be fun, and we're going to be joined with Grasshoppers Garden Center. And, Dad, let's talk about crepes. That is your...
Crepes, sure will.
They look hard to make. I've watched the part where you put the batter down, and you use that like stick and move it around. I don't know. It looks like it takes a certain finesse to make a crepe.
It doesn't.
Really?
All you have to do is look carefully at someone doing it.
Yeah.
And be intense about
it. But it's so thin, though. We don't use one of those sticks, though. Maybe I've seen those at fairs and stuff, but
no,
you've got commercial equipment.
I put my crepe batter in a 1 gallon container with a ladle. Just the right size ladle for me that I know will be right. But it isn't. Well, I think it's right because I have my own measure. Mm-hmm. It's half that ladle. And then right away, well, I should go back to making it. give you the recipes real quick. One egg, one cup of water, and one cup of flour. And I put a tad of sugar in it. You're not supposed to. But I,
Now your daughter's eating it.
Years ago, when I was, you know, when I was at Belmont, I had cooked it. It was real sharp on that stuff. It was from Canada. No, no, you, I never did. And it just of late, for the past five,
oh,
6 years. I know, you're not supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to be just, you know, bland, I guess, or something. But I sweeten it up a little bit. It's a lot better.
I bet everybody probably does their thing.
Well, it's good. That's,
you know?
That's what we've learned. That's where food has come along the
way. Right, exactly.
Before it was, that's the way it is. Well, hey, not today.
Because, you know, when I do mine, I actually put a little vanilla in mine.
I was going to say, I always did that.
Yeah.
And myself in the restaurant business on pancakes, I always put vanilla in.
Yeah.
That was my recipe. Vanilla, a little bit, you know, wouldn't sweeten it, though. Vanilla would naturally sweeten it. But anyways, that's as simple as that. The three things, my grandmother always said, one egg, one cup of water. Oh, she used to use water. I put a cup of milk and a cup of flour. Stir the heck out of it. I like to make it the night before. Something about it, the next morning, it separated a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you just stir it up again, and you have to thin it out a little bit. It should run pretty light.
How do you thin it out? You just...
I use milk. You can add more milk. It throws the equation off again, but you want it thin. They're thick. It's just not the same
thing. Yeah, definitely not like pancake batter.
Okay.
And lately, instead of a pan, in the summertime, I have a griddle in my yard, and... it works so good. It's just a flat top. It's 3 feet wide. And you just can pop, pop, pop. You know, I was doing five, I think, Sunday. And right away with your, you know, you put them in. I take a ladle, not a ladle, a spatula. It's angled. And you just spread it. Take off the top of it. Just spread
or even
it, spread
the bottom
it.
Of your ladle. I do it like that.
Yeah,
or
that, that
circular,
way too.
Circular motion.
Yeah. And just spread it
but
out.
I just spread it and act perfectly round the way I do them, but I don't care. The idea is to get them thin.
Doesn't it get perfectly round just by pouring it?
Yeah, but pretty I want to thin it, so you take some off the top.
Okay. All right.
Because I'll tell you, you can do it that way, but boy, it gets really thin.
Let me just, because most people don't have a 3 foot grill outside.
Yeah, in a pan, it's easy.
True.
Right. True.
So they do it in a frying pan.
Yeah,
so when I put
naturally,
it in, you know, in the pan, you just, I lift the pan up and you just kind of, you know, move
that's
the pan around.
The way
so
you do it in a pan.
It goes all around the edges.
Okay.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. All right. So when do you know to flip it over?
You got to feel that.
Yeah, I'm sure it takes practice.
Well, you can take a peek. You know, you can take a peek at it.
If you do it too soon,
it's going to fall apart.
Should it be browning a little bit by the time you flip it over?
Definitely.
And it browns in little bumps.
Little round dots.
Yeah, little bumps.
Oh, okay, like a pancake when you see the little bubbles coming up.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, then you flip it over. High temperature. Remember, high temperature.
All right, so we're talking 400 degrees?
Well, in a burner.
On the burner?
On a burner. It's, it would be, you know, moderate.
What are you using for oil?
I use a, it's something we use in a restaurant. They call it Whirl.
What's that for?
Well, you can't use butter because the temperature will be so high, it burns.
It'll burn, right.
This has something in it that will not burn.
But
it makes it gold.
Meme used to always use Crisco.
Yeah,
Crisco.
It's nice and crispy
Could I use canola oil?
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
I know you could.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure. Yeah, because.
But you just want to kind of rub it on, or do you want a little bit of a layer of it?
No, you just put a little dab on it.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of spread it around your hand.
I have it in a squeeze bottle.
I'm asking because I want to try this.
Yeah, I have a squeeze bottle.
Oh, you do?
And when you do it in a pan with the squeeze bottle tip, you put it on that edge in the pan. And it just gets started there, and that gets the crunch going.
It's a nice crunchy.
Really?
Which is really good.
It's
and
great.
You'll like the crunch.
Yeah, I'm a crunchy guy.
He likes the crunch.
Yeah, and then you have a flat pan next to you, and there's sugar on that. So when you take it out of the pan, you drop it in that.
Really?
And then you roll it up.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I sprinkle a little bit.
You don't put some fruit or cheese filling
in
it?
No,
you
don't. You roll it.
But
you don't have to do it inside.
Okay.
What you usually do is you roll it up again. No, nice, not too tight.
Okay.
Loose.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in, and now you top it, and then you do the whipped cream.
Oh, okay.
That's the way we do
it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, the way you're doing it is more like a dessert crepe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, if you're going to do, what are you going to put in it? You know what I mean? But strawberries work inside just as good, I guess.
Blueberries.
But they won't stay right in the middle. I'd rather see it on the outside.
Yeah. It looks better.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Presentation, it looks
Yeah, good. So it sounds like it takes practice. You know,
it takes a little
bit
of practice.
I've never tried it. What I've been making, because I had these at a bed and breakfast, is popovers, which are a little tricky to make. But once you get the hang of those, like anything else.
I've never tried that.
Do you have a popover pan?
I do, but you know what? I don't use it because I found some, what's the word I'm looking for? Little cups that work better than the pan.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason. Because I went back to this bed and breakfast. I said, mine aren't coming out quite like yours. And he showed me these little plastic, glass cups that maybe you put some fruit cocktail in. I know there's a name for it.
Like a ramekin.
But there's got to be enough of an angle to give the push.
Yep.
So I use those, and it makes all the difference in the world. And like George makes his batter for crepes the night before, you do the same thing with these as well. But it's a much thicker, lumpier consistency because you want that volume.
Yeah,
right. And you don't overmix it because you want enough air to be in it to create some lift. I mean, it's really, you know, and I pinned this guy down. I said, all right, give me all the little troublemaking part of this. And he explained all that. And I'd say 1 out of 10 batches just – is bad, but most of the time I get them, and you use fruit or whatever. I like maple syrup on mine. That just really makes it so.
Maple syrup, and we were talking about Sunday. Some, you know, we used to use Karo syrup.
Yeah, on our crepes, I use Karo syrup.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
the darker, the light.
And you know, Bob Dolliker, owner, past owner of Pepsi Cola, he used to put molasses.
Ooh.
Try it. I did. I like it.
No, really?
I don't like molasses.
It was very good because it's very sweet.
Yeah,
just change it again. See, even though we think we change everything around, so that's pretty good. And then we made some French toast on that brioche bread.
French toast.
Brioche makes the best French toast.
That was unbelievable. That was very good. I even had it the next day on toast. That was darn good.
Talk about your we have time to talk about your chuck wagon bean recipe.
Chuck wagon bean recipe. Yeah, any kind of beans you want. We use Red Arrow beans, but you can use good old canned beans, you know, the good ones. I mean, there's all kinds. You just start with, in my house, I always keep hamburger patties individually wrapped in a freezer. That was two. I took two of those, throw them in a pan with a little bit of EVOO, touch of butter, scrambled that up real good, got rid of the fat that was left, and then I put that aside and put some chopped celery.
Onions?
I don't put many onions. There were some in here. I don't put a lot of onions. Onion and just, that's it. And just cook that real good. Because the celery, it's hard to cook celery. You know, I mean, to make it right, but it came out good. You don't want too much of a crunch in it. And when that celery is ready, throw the hamburger beet back in because it's like scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
Salt, pepper. Mine's different than yours. Again, we all go different. And put the beans in. Crumbled bacon in it, and I found I don't like to put mustard. I like the taste, but I don't like the look of it. It taints it. I don't use mustard anymore. I just use ketchup, and you have to have ketchup. 2-3 tablespoons of ketchup goes into that, and you stir it up real well, and you just top it with more bacon, salt and pepper.
Really good.
Salt and pepper, very important. And that's it.
Wagon beans.
Yeah, chuck wagon beans. So, I had got that recipe years ago. Actual chuck wagon, you know, years ago out west.
Is it a more of a breakfast or a lunch or any time dish?
I'll tell you,
it goes any time because I had it the next day.
Yeah, really
what if
good.
You use now? You say
anything. George, you can use steak tips. Chuck wagon. Remember the chuck wagon drove out west? They'd stop and eat and. Chuck the chuck wagon. What are we going to make tonight? It was always beans. Well, that's how the recipe was. You know what I'm saying? What are we going to have tonight? Well, we got to have what's kicking around. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think there's a Food Network show having something to do with the cowboy cooking. I can't think of the name of it, but I'm sure they would probably be interested in that.
That is a great recipe. I'm telling you, everybody that has it.
Can
really,
I use
really
barbecue
like
sauce, George?
You can. I instead of barbecue sauce.
Ketchup?
That's what I'm saying. You can do your own variations, you know? That's a good one. chuck wagon beans.
Yeah, Dad usually on Sundays will make crepes and chuck wagon beans, French toast, and
bacon, sausage.
Bacon, nice.
I can see putting an egg over easy on a little bit of that chuck wagon
beef. You could have it that way.
I mean, everything, it seems like everybody's topping everything with eggs these days. How many places, you at the Arrow, don't you have an egg on a burger?
Oh, yeah.
We have
a burger bar. So
burger bar, yeah.
You know, add whatever they want on it.
Are you finding that's pretty popular?
Oh, yeah. It is definitely very popular. The other one at the Arrow that's popular is the Newton Burger.
Oh, what's that?
The Newton Burger is a burger between two grilled cheeses. So there's a grilled cheese on the bottom, lettuce, tomato, the burger, and then a ball of fried mac and cheese.
That's
the Newton Burger.
The Newton Burger, huh?
We sell tons of those.
Do you?
It is crazy. Yeah.
I was telling you, I just looked. Brittany's special today upstairs was a cheddar melt. And it's three slices of cheddar. She puts it on one side, and then she puts jalapenos and red pepper. And what was the other real grace? Oh.
Chitlins.
I don't know, apples. Sliced thin apples.
Oh, yeah. Apples and cheddar cheese.
And that gets topped with that another half, 1.5 cheese, and then with the bread and panini.
Right. Now what kind of, all right.
Yeah, so, it was.
So it's a good, is it a good sturdy bread?
Yeah, it must have sold like crazy.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds good.
It sounded good. Yeah, I know. I wanted to come back and have it, and I didn't.
Sold out. Sorry, George.
Yep, that's it.
Were they sold out?
No, I don't know. I didn't. Yeah. I stopped at Belmont for a minute.
Oh. All right. Well, another show done. Tomorrow we'll be out on the sidewalk, so we'd love to see listeners come on by and say hi to us.
NASCAR tickets, by the way.
And we have NASCAR tickets.
Right.
That's right. We have four of them. So,
woohoo!
Listen for your chance to win.
Yes.
Or come on down. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye.